Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello. Welcome along. It's another episode of Alt Down Under with me, your host, Luke Scanlon. Guys, I hope everything is well in your world. Today is a very big episode, a long episode, so I'm not going to hang around too much, but I am going to bring the energy because my guest on this episode definitely did that. And it is an episode that I've really loved listening back to and running through as I edit the show. Very fun, and it's a chat that I'm sure you'll very much enjoy as well. So that is my chat with Anna Ryan, lead singer for Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. As you'll hear right at the top of this interview, I completely fuck up saying that band name. We have a chat about that, Anna and I, amongst many things. How that band name came into being and why it's such a tongue twister. Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. See, I'm just nailing it every time. No pressure because I'm not on the call with Anna. But my God, I stuffed that big time in the interview, which you'll hear very shortly. We also get into the band's story 10 years down the track from when they first started off in Canberra. Unbelievable. I was trying to think about what I was doing 10 years ago. Celebrate my 21st birthday out in Bali. I was absolutely smashing Currents by Tame Impala. That album had just come out. Leon Bridges' debut album as well. I was all over that one. I was working at uni. It's like a whole other universe. So in my own life, a lot has changed. So I get into that chat with Anna. How has her life and the rest of the band changed since they first started out back in 2015, which is absolutely nuts to think about. Plus, two new singles from the band, Balcony and Unscarred, the latter of which we have a chat about Dalmatians. Go and watch the video for that single now, because if you're a dog fan, you're going to love it. Even if you're not a dog fan, you'll probably get on board with said doggos because, fuck man, they're cute. They're just great. I mean, just imagine being in a studio just rocking around with a load of Dalmatians. It's what it's all about, man. So yeah, we get into that. We get into the band's style. They kind of span rock, bit of grunge in there, bit of pop punk, and how things have changed over the years and their approach to songwriting and how their artistic process has been affected, if at all, with some of the amazing slots they've done as support acts for some bands. I mean, listen to this for a lineup. They've backed the likes of DMAs, The Vaccines. They've opened for Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, The Grogans. Unbelievable. So obviously I find out, how nice is Dave Grohl and Eddie Vedder? Is he really that much of a nice guy? Plus the Grogans, formerly of Alt Down Under, way back when, as we first started out as a show, their latest album, unbelievable. Sorry, little segue here, but Stagger is an unbelievable album. Go and listen to that. Came out at the end of May. Come Up is just a straight up old school rock and roll tune. Genuinely, I think the guitar on that, Dwayne Eddy and Link Ray would be proud of those riffs, honestly. And finally, my chat with Anna from Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. Anna's dream gig venue. Let's just say I may have caused Anna's stress levels and heart rate to hit uncharted territory. Sorry about that, Anna, but it makes for good listening. So anyway, enough of me ruddy rambling. Let's get into this episode then. My very fun, very energetic, slightly chaotic chat with the wonderful Anna Ryan from Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. All right, Anna Ryan from Teen Jesus and the Teen... Oh, mate, I need to get my head round. Joe, I said this to myself.
It's okay.
Everyone, your band name is really Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. Oh, my God, it's the biggest tongue twister on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
You crushed that. No notes.
Smashed it out of the park, I reckon.
Well, thanks for having me.
No worries. One thing I wanted to start off with, right, when I saw your name, this reminded me, and when I see my mate's name, Luke Phillip, it's the same thing. I love going into pubs and you meet proper batshit old characters. Many, many moons ago, I don't even know how we got onto the chat. This old bloke who sat there with his pint of beer, he was like, listen, son, never trust someone with a first name as a last name. And I was like, okay, actually, I don't know what, it was obviously absolute
super
nonsense.
Valid.
Super valid. So there you go. Yeah, it made me think of that. So thank you for that bizarre flashback.
No worries.
Oh, dear. So run me through your day. We've just had an interruption from your cat. What is the cat's name?
His name's Tuna.
Tuna. Nice. Okay. How long have you had the little man?
He's a new one, but we've got another cat as well, and his name is Gumby. So we've had, we got Toons maybe like 6 months ago.
Oh, fair play.
So he's a little rat bag.
Yeah, fair. Is that, do you reckon that will be your future life? Like after the band, it's just a house full of cats.
Settle down with a couple cats. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Love that. Love that for you.
I feel like I'm already doing it.
Yeah. Just surrounded by crystal balls and bangles.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Amazing. Well, Anna, thank you for joining me for a chat. I want to rewind the clock, if we may, because doing a bit of research behind the band before doing this interview, I didn't realise it's 10 years since you guys formed as a band.
Yeah, this year. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. So I just wanted to, like, try and get you to position your brain back in that place. You've had an amazing ride as a band. Like, it's been actually unbelievable. Two albums in, toured with some amazing artists, done some amazing tours yourself. Could you ever have imagined the way it's gone 10 years ago?
Not a chance. Like, literally, no way. We just started playing music because we were like, oh, that looks easy. We could do it. How hard could it be, basically? And then turns out it is a little bit harder than it looks. So that was something we had to work on. We were definitely very shit for a lot of years. But now we've kind of gotten the hang of it, which is good.
I'd say you've done pretty well. You've definitely got your head around it, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's good to, like, start something when you're literally a child, because everyone is very forgiving of, like, you sounding shit. So it's like, you know, you play a show and everyone's like, oh, good job, sweeties, you know, yeah. And it's like, oh, look at you. But it's like, you know, when you, like, it's a lot harder to start a band, I guess, when you're not, I don't know.
It's weird that, because there's quite a few things to take away from those early days, from what you've just told me, because A, very refreshing, because I think you're the first artist that's come on here and be like, this is a fucking walk in the park, mate. Most people come on and be like, fucking, I'm knackered, this is really hard. So that is quite a nice thing that you were young doing that. But also, being young, I bet when you are starting out and finding your feet in music, you're probably like, oh yeah, okay. But I bet you do eventually reach a point where you went, can everyone fuck off and kind of take us a bit seriously, please?
Yeah, I think there was a moment where we were like, it wasn't like take us seriously. I think it was like us realizing that we could do it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, oh, you know, like, this is fun and everything, but like, people actually are starting to like our music and maybe it's actually all going to be okay.
Yeah, that must be such an exciting period when you suddenly go, oh, hello, we're getting a bit of traction here. That must be
quite... Yeah, this is great.
Also, I love those videos. I don't know if you guys have one in the archive somewhere. I see a lot of artists, particularly with, like, the great work that, like, Triple J on Earth do, when they, like, video themselves listening to their first radio play. I bet that was such a cool moment when you first had that as well.
We probably have, like, some, like, old videos like that, but I can definitely remember what it was like for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were, like, freaking out. That was like, that's it, pack up my things, I've made it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, like, absolutely, I'm moving to Malibu.
See you later, guys.
Living the life, man. Instead of a cat, I'm buying a lion.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I'm real. So let's rewind a little bit again. The name of the band that I delivered so professionally at the start of the interview, Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. There
Perfect.
You go.
Perfect. That was beautiful.
I have to ask, I'm sure you've probably been asked this a million times, but please tell me the story of how you arrived at the name of the band.
I wish we sort of made up a thing recently because, like, we thought we should have a better story because the original story is not a story even at all. It's like how it came about was, well, picture this. We're literally like starting out, we're like 14, 15 years old. And we're going through probably like the list of the worst names you could possibly think of. And thank God we didn't land on any of those other ones. I can't even.
Kat, you obviously have to try and remember some of those names. We can't move on past this.
I just am so afraid that people are going to like, it's like so, it's incriminatingly like embarrassing. So
go on. What have you got for me, Anna?
Well, the one that we literally were so, it's so embarrassing. The one we were like really about to go with, but then at the last minute on our like very first show, which was like at our school fair, the Scarlet in the band, she ran up and was like, no, don't say that name. Say this name, Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. But we were literally about to introduce ourselves as Dandelion and the Enigmas. So
pretty cool, man. Pretty cool.
Like, it's actually so embarrassing.
I love that. That is very like teen. What sounds edgy?
What a save, honestly, because that could have been such. We would have been done within the year.
Yeah. It sounds like a real kind of late 60s psychedelic band name.
It's what really it sounds upsetting.
Like. I can imagine that on like old school radio, like the Dandelions and the Enigmas.
Yeah, literally. Wow, with that voice as well. Yeah, so that was a bad one, but we don't actually have a good story. It was just like Scarlett's dad and one of his friends or something were like talking about the worst band names they could think of, and Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers was one of them. And then Scarlett remembered this and was like, are you going to use that? Because that's awesome. And then he was like, I'm not going to use that. So our whole, you know, career, it's like kind of helped us in a way because it's just so out there that like people do just remember it because it's so strange.
Yeah, I mean, aside from me fucking up the pronunciation, Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers is an amazing band name because you don't forget it. I don't forget it. I just fuck up saying it.
It's
a tongue twister. So I wanted to move on to the albums that you've had out. I Love You and I Love You Too. Love both records, and I wanted to chat to you about some of the artists that you've kind of had featured, like the Grogans. They've come on the show before, awesome band, and the Linda Lindas.
Yeah.
Do you really enjoy that kind of collaborative process and working with people? Because I've spoken to other artists about this on Alt Down Under, and a lot of the feedback I get is that it's quite nice to kind of open your brain up artistically to how someone else works. Was that how you found it as well with those tunes?
Yeah, so with those like songs, we had like already written the whole like song and we just like got them to jump on it. We're like, here are the lyrics, go for gold. But yeah, so I think it would be nice to actually like fully collaborate with another artist and like write together instead of like what we have done in the past is just like writing it and then, you know, having them sing on it or whatever. But yeah, with Salt,
great
the
song.
One with the Grogans, like that was, we had just gone on tour with them over in Tassie and we had had the best time ever. And then we had a studio session booked in to do like a couple songs for the album. And we were like, oh, we don't have any like features on the album at the moment. What could be like a good, I don't know, duet or something. And then I was like, oh my God, Salt is literally like a conversation and has a beautiful voice. So, and we also just wanted to spend more time with them because we were like, you're like the best. And so we were like, how is there a way we can keep hanging out while still doing work.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And then they just came to the studio the next day, and like Quinn was like really sick, but he still like nailed it. So he was always like, oh, it sounds like so raspy and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shh. It sounds perfect. It's like
raspy is sexy.
It sounds so beautiful how he sings it. And it was just like, yeah, it was so nice to have them on that. They're such good friends now as well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Because I spoke to Jordan on the show, honestly, must have been about a year and a half ago, I want to say, probably a bit longer than that. Yeah. So I can totally see why you'd want to have an excuse to hang out with them
they're
bit more.
So fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We've done a couple of tours with them, and like, yeah, the most recent one we did with them, we just like, I think we realized we can just like have people on tours that we want to hang out with. It was just like, we can just do fun tours with friends, and it's like, it was awesome. So we did a co-headline and just like went around and swapped each night who was headlining, and it was awesome.
That leads me on very nicely. Something else I want to ask you about in terms of other artists and your experience as a band. Some of the support slots that you've played with some like unbelievably massive names, Foo Fighters, The Vaccines, like it's like a longer list than that. That must have been like, again, going back to that period 10 years ago, like proper pinch me moments when you get those emails, confirmations through that you're going on tour with these bands. Must be the most like mind-bending thing ever.
Yeah, it's bizarre. We're sort of like with Foo Fighters, because that was like the, like our first like massive stadium show. Like our managers called us up and they were like, oh, so what are you guys like doing on the, like, I think it was like the 6th of December or something. And we were like, I don't know. And like, they were like, oh, well, just cause you know, like the Foo Fighters were wondering if you wanted to support. And we were like, literally like all of us like sobbing on Zoom. And then, yeah, it was just like so unreal, that experience. And then, oh my God, the amount of shows now that we've done with Pearl Jam as well, which is like,
yeah, literally
just insane. And like, cause we went over and did Ohana Festival over in America. And then we got the offer to do their Australian shows, and then we had so much fun with them, and then they got in touch with our management, and they were like, we love Teen Jesus, do they want to come over to America and play with us on like 6 more shows? And we were like, what, that's so stupid, there's so many other bands, it feels like
it's so stupid. Oh well, you gotta back yourself. By the way, my favorite thing of that, Anna, is when you like went on to Pearl Jam, you like fully did a lean back in your chair, arms behind your head, you went, and the shows with Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You've probably heard of me. I have to ask, Dave Grohl, is he as lovely as he comes across in the media?
Yeah, well, I'm like, he's such a sweetie. When I first saw him, I was walking to the green room and I was like, he was like coming towards this way, and I was like, I've got to say something. I was literally just like freaking out. I was like, hi, I'm Anna. I'm like, I sing in the band that's playing, like, we're, you know, supporting you tonight. And he was like, oh, dude, come here. And he gave me a hug and he was like, thanks so much for playing. And I was like, and then he came into our green room and he was just like having a cup of tea and having a chat with us for a bit. And then, yeah, that was, yeah, we didn't spend a heap of time with him, but he was still lovely. And then, yeah, Mr. Eddie Vedder, of course, is like an absolute, like, sweetie. He's so nice. Like, he's introduced us many times, like come on stage to be like,
no way, really,
in Jesus, come, and like people like swarming because it's Eddie Vedder, and then he's like, you have to watch this band, and like doing little like speeches and stuff for us. And I was like losing my shit, like went on, so it was like the second show we had played with them on the Australian run. We started our set and we were like a couple songs in, and then I see him side of stage and he just like walks on, and I was like, please have the floor, like, literally. And he just, like, takes the mic and he's like, I'm so sorry I'm late. I wanted to, like, introduce you guys. And he just starts saying, like, these lovely things about us and how, like, he was watching the arias when we, like, got an aria, and he was just, like, so sweet. And then I just had to keep on playing songs after that. Like, he just walked off and he was like, I'll see you guys later. And I just had to, literally the next song was like me starting it. And like, I was like crying throughout the whole song because it was just like, so like, how do you compose yourself after that?
I was going to say, fair play to you. How do you compose yourself and recover from that?
I literally had to, like, he walked off and I was like, I guess I'll keep playing.
That's so good. That is so nice of him. I've never heard of an artist, like, headline act come on and introduce the support act.
It was crazy.
That's so good. And I just love that he did it and went, anyway, see you in a bit.
No, he was like, I'll put some champagne in your green room and we'll see you later. And I was like, what?
Mate, that's honestly crazy. Next level. That is so, so yeah. Fucking cool, honestly. I mean, who knows who will be next? What's going on?
I don't know. That feels like pretty peak. I don't know how to
talk. Yeah, to be fair, you've kind of done like rock and roll royalty right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing. Anyway, let's shift on to your guys' new music. Two new recent singles, mm-hmm. Most recent of which comes out today, day of recording. With no context, this is going to sound really strange to the people listening, but Dalmatians, Talk to Me.
Isn't that just awesome?
Like, honestly.
Isn't that just so awesome? We're like, is there any way we can, like, I don't know, get a Dalmatian or something? We're just going to hang out with them and, like, yeah, just give them heaps of treats and stuff. And they were so well behaved. It was awesome. Great.
Amazing. Just to clarify, anyone wondering what the hell we're on about, for the new music video for Unscarred, there is Dalmatians very much in a starring role for that video.
Yeah.
I quite like to think, like, the idea of, like, going on to, like, a dog model website and they're all kind of sat there, like, striking a pose, like, pick me.
I fully, like, we were looking at them as they were getting, like, you know, the, like, close-up sort of, like, stance shots.
Yeah.
Like, these dogs are, like model dogs. Like, these are, like, when you look up dog, this is what you want to see. Because it's, like, the best, like, the goodest of goods. You know, they just were so good at their job and got so many treats, and it was really hard to focus on anything else.
I have to ask, how did Tuna feel about all of this? Because you must have come back into the house with Dalmatian scent all over you.
Yeah, well, they, you know, they were all right. Like, I think they knew. So can you see this? These are my two.
They are very cute cats.
They're my
to be
two
fair.
Cats, and in a way, I think they are similar to Dalmatians. So.
They look quite like Dalmatians.
Yeah, I think they were fine with it, like, maybe a little bit of resentment, but at the end of the day, they still get fed, so.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about them as if they are little people.
Well, then
we had a chat about it. They seemed all right.
Yeah, exactly.
They got over it pretty quick. But the track itself, really, really enjoy Unscarred as a tune. The drumming on that is very... very on point, very tight. I think that was the main draw for me on that tune. But I also, I kind of, like, very much has an anthemic feel to it, that song, but almost like an understated, it's like a chilled anthem.
Yeah, it's like really, like, the riff and everything, it, like, really gets in there. And I, like, even catch myself just, like, going about my day going...
Go on, Anna.
You know? So it's definitely, like, got that vibe about it. Just really gets in your head. But, yeah, we love it.
Just about the theme behind the tune. Is this right? It's about a situationship.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, situationship, we will get on to the actual story of the song. Situationship was a phrase that I'd heard for ages but not actually ever understood what the hell it was.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've been in a long-term relationship for so long, so I'm a bit out of the game here. But, like, I believe the term is, like, it's not a relationship, but it's like a thing that goes on for like a certain amount of time. I don't know.
Just like, because it's convenience?
Insert meaning.
How clueless do we both sound, by the way? Just
I don't know. I actually didn't write this song, so I'm off the hook. No, but it's definitely, it's, I think Scarlett had written it about like one of her friends, situations. And I think that's like the most fun way to write music as well, because it's like, it's something that's not happening to you, so it's like you're in the clear, but you can still like see that, like you can still get the emotions and stuff. And
Yeah.
but it's like, I don't know, like sometimes when I'm like writing music that is so like attached to like my, life or what I'm feeling, it's like, whew, it like takes a lot from you. But sometimes you're just
Yeah,
like, oh,
exactly.
glad it's not me.
Quite energy sapping. Yeah, I suppose writing about other people's situations and lives, you get a bit more clarity on the whole.
Yeah, because you like you're not in it, so like you can see it,
Yeah,
how
that's a
it
great way
is.
of doing
We're just stealing people's like, chunks of
Yeah,
their lives and
exactly.
like making music.
And my love life's a fucking disaster, so if you ever want some
Right, yeah,
content,
you send me some notes. I'll whip some
just give me a call and we'll whip
of
something up.
that.
I was gonna say balcony as well. I went on your website. There's a bit of merch that I absolutely love. Break up with your boyfriend on the balcony.
Isn't that just clicks?
That's a great t-shirt, man,
It's so
honestly.
awesome. Yeah. But yeah, it's we love that. We love that song and we love Unscarred and it's just like super fun. And I'm really excited to like play these songs live as well.
One last one before we move on to the dream gig venue. We mentioned obviously very primitive days of the band. Now, 10 years down the line, do you, as a band, or even personally, feel a bit like more serious going into releases? Does it feel like there's more hanging on it? Because obviously you grow as people and you grow as a band, but does it feel a bit like, oh, new release?
It's yeah, I don't know. We've like definitely got the hang of the feeling of releasing music. I think it used to be a lot scarier for me because it's like such a, big thing. But yeah, I don't know. I am always just like mostly excited about what people like think of it, I guess. And but also we're at a point now where we are kind of like we don't really mind what people think because we like love our music. So that's I guess that's enough.
Yeah, fuck
We hope you like
them.
it, but also like who
But
cares?
also do
Yeah.
one.
I don't know. But I think we used to be like very like, oh, I hope people like this. I hope this gets on the radio. I hope, but it's like, brother, if you like your own music, that's good enough. And it's yeah.
Like that. That's a great approach to
Because
it.
you're not going to get them all. That's impossible. You can't get them all.
Nah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Not everyone's Taylor Swift,
Exactly
right?
right.
Yeah, cool. All right. If you're ready, we'll take a trip to the dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Anna, let's do the dream gig venue. I love that you're having an absolute panic.
It's stressing me out.
Are you getting a bit hot in that hoodie of yours because you're stressing out over the dream gig venue?
Yes.
The heat is on me, man.
Oh my God, what the hell?
Tense times. I mean, you've literally supported Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam, and you're getting stressed out about dream gig venue.
Yeah, but I don't know how, like, because you were saying people have gone crazy with it. Like, are they saying like dream gig venue is like in a flying elevator from fucking what's that movie, Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
I mean, if you want to do a gig in there, that's absolutely
No,
fine.
I don't, but I'm like, is that how crazy people are going? Or
Oh yeah, some people have gone like
can I
that.
just
Yeah,
say like the
absolutely.
Forum in Melbourne? because I would love.
You got to make it up. You got to make it up. Right, first question. Oh my God. What is the name you're giving your venue and what capacity would you like?
Okay,
By the way, if I give you a panic attack, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, seriously, this is not what I had planned for today. Teen Jesus will be playing at... See, I can't even think of anything.
I'd do the elevator from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because that's amazing.
Can it be a big one?
Well, yeah. It's not just going to be a gig for three.
Wait, no, actually, if it's the elevator, I would love... So it's like the glass elevator that like flies everywhere.
Yeah.
We are like, the crowd's like down on the ground. And we're like flying around.
Oh, nice.
And like, yeah, it's cool because we can just, you know, control that thing to go wherever we want. There's like little, you know, crowds set up everywhere. So we just like.
Would there be any Oompa Loompas on the scene anywhere?
No.
They're a bit freaky, actually, to be fair. That's, yeah.
Way too weird. Mm. I think I'm just sort of like sticking with the elevator thing and less of the Chocolate Factory.
More elevator, less chocolate, please.
Exactly. Lock it in.
Okay, awesome. And capacity, how many people are going to be in the crowd down below?
It's just bizarre. Well, like as many as possible, like thousands and thousands and thousands.
Fuck yeah, limitless.
Yeah.
All right, up next, dress code. What's everyone wearing?
Like, what are we wearing or what's everyone wearing?
To get into this massive venue with a flying elevator, what do people need to be wearing?
I think this is getting derailed. I'm going to have messages from my manager being like, this is not right.
this is not right.
Everyone, you know, is going to be wearing... Oh, my God. This is why I didn't do, like, creative writing. Like,
you literally make songs for a living. What are you on about?
No. But I'm not writing. Like, no. That's about real scenarios. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they're wearing outfits... with flames.
Outfits with flames. Awesome. Okay.
They're all on fire.
All right, everyone's on fire. So you might want to think about your choice of alcohol for your free drink and free food. What are you having?
Well, everything's pretty flammable, isn't it? So I feel like that's horrific. Okay.
You're just going to be watching everyone burning from your elevator.
No, it's very safe, like, you know. Like,
oh, yeah, the safe flames.
Yeah, it's like from the Hunger Games when they're wearing those outfits out of, like...
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. Good times. Perfect.
My God, you've given me too much creative freedom and now I've gone rogue. And then what are we having to drink? Maybe I should just, like, bring it back down to the earth a little bit and, like, just a nice crisp gin and tonic.
Fuck yeah, I like that. What food?
Oh my God, it's just too overwhelming. I don't know, party pies.
They're banging, to be fair. I like the contrast of a crisp gin and tonic and then just a little meat pie. Next up, support act, who are you having? I quite like the idea of Foo Fighters supporting you guys.
Oh yeah, let's flip it. Yeah, we gotta get someone that's really gonna bring the crowd. It's just all too much. Maybe we'll just have like Billie Eilish or something like that.
She'll get her head around that. And finally, Anna, can you please tell me who you would like doing your front door security? This could be anyone.
Jack Black.
Right. Why was that the one question that you were like, definitely Jack Black?
Because he is like almost the reason that we are a band. So, because we watched School of Rock. Yeah.
And with that, thank you. That is the end of the Dream Gig venue. Thank you for your time, Anna. Can't wait for more new music from the band.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Alternative Down Under.
Hey, I did promise a chaotic chat. There it was. That was Anna Ryan, lead singer from Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers. And as you can tell from the energy, the willingness to commit to the conversation and just openness as well. Anna is a lovely, lovely person, and you can see why some of the bands that they've supported over the years, you can see why they've been asked back so many times, because just a pleasure to spend time with her. I mean, that was a half an hour chat if not a bit longer, actually. I think it's about 45 minutes in the end. Very, very easy company. So, yeah, Anna, thanks ever so much again for your time, despite the stress I caused you with the dream gig venue. Jack Black, party pies and the flying elevator, and some flammable clothing. All pretty normal, if you ask me. But hey, it is the dream gig venue. So yeah, do go and check out those new singles from Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers, Balcony and Unscarred. I'm sure there's some bigger announcements coming up as well and some more live dates. So yeah, do get on board and yeah, carry on following this journey. 10 years deep now for the band. So I'm sure it is only going to get bigger, better and greater things are going to be coming their way. It's a fun story. And the band is still young, having started in their mid-teens. I mean, there's still so much on the horizon for this group. And yeah, they've picked up some great critical reception and a shit ton of fans along the way as well. So I'm absolutely buzzing for Anna and the rest of the gang. Make sure to follow them on social, stay up to date with everything they're releasing. And yeah, look out for some live dates. Thanks again for listening to Alt Down Under. I'll be back again in a couple of weeks' time with another wee episode for you there. Sorry, every now and then breaking into an Irish accent because my new housemates are all from Ireland. So don't you feckin' worry about that. We'll be back real shortly with a new episode. Thank you very much, guys. Take it easy and I'll catch you real soon.